Welcome to the Siva Poultry Sounds podcast. In this podcast series, Siva brings you the latest technical information about disease prevention, control, and management, and provides insight from poultry industry experts. Tune in to follow our content and be a poultry specialist.
Dear poultry industry friends, welcome to a new episode of Tanino F Experts. I'm really glad today to receive Costas Coutolis with us. We are in Lisbon, Portugal, and we are going to discuss about the challenge of boom boar disease in Europe and how we can control it. So, how are you today, Costas?
I'm okay. Nice to meet you and nice to be here.
Thank you. So, before we start, can you just tell us a little bit about you, or the job, or the work are you doing? Can you just introduce yourself for us, please?
I'm already 23 years in the profession. I'm a veterinarian specialized in poultry diseases. I'm also an associate professor in Greece in the University of Thessaly. And also I'm working very closely with Siva colleagues in Europe, taking care and having responsibilities on in the connection between the labs and the institutes and training and cooperating very closely with them.
Okay, so it's a really nice connection between science and the real world and on the farms and...
Exactly, I'm really happy to do this both roles, because definitely I can connect the real world, as you said, with the science, with the knowledge, and with the university world. We know that both sides need each other. So definitely I can link and correlate both parts of the world.
Going to this point that I think is a really interesting point, I know that you led a survey, epidemiological survey, about boom boar disease in Europe in the last years, and with collaboration of labs, university, and of course, the Siva Vet Service teams. How you conducted this survey, what kind of material was collected, what can you share with us regarding that?
Before I start to explain what we did actually the last couple of years, I need to start with two facts. The first fact is that definitely before the survey, the prevalence of IBD or the existence of Gamboro disease in Europe was underestimated. Definitely, we are supposed to be free, or we don't have any serious outbreaks or clinical cases of Gamboro disease the last 10, 15, 20 years in Europe. And this is, as we will explain in afterwards, is not true. The second fact is that the last 10 years we haven't run epidemiological surveys in Europe to see what's happening exactly in the real world. There is a couple of publications that they examined and they analyzed data and samples from around European countries, but it was a limited survey, which of course showed the existence of IBD in IBDV strains. The last couple of years, we had the opportunity in Siva to run the disease awareness plan and to reevaluate the whole situation, clinical cases or outbreaks or whatever is happening in Europe, and not only for Gamboro but also for other diseases. So what we did in collaboration, of course, with Siva customers, and not only, we examined and we analyzed and we collected a lot of data. And we had a really close collaboration with University of Padova mainly, but for the PCR results, but also for the local laboratories for ELISA. So we examined more than 1,000 flocks. We collected very close to slaughter age, we collected Bursa fabricius for PCR, plus blood for serology, to see what's going on in the field. I would say the results were really surprising, because we found that more than 15% reassortant or variants in this samples. Of course, we had the whole history of the flocks. We had the vaccination program. We have the names or the location of the farms. So we know exactly what we did and where we did. Depends on the country. The results were even more surprising because we had some cases that the existence or the findings of reassortment of or variants were very closely to 40%, which the numbers are really huge, are really amazing. And of course, this proved that what we had in mind about Gamboro disease in Western Europe is not completely true. Definitely, we are not free of IBDV. Definitely, we identified a lot of reassortant and variant strains in Europe, in every country. Depends, as I said, on the country and different prevalence. And what we definitely can say now, Europe is not free of IBDV.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, it's clear that the old perception that the Bombor is not present, we need to change this perception now that, yes, we realize that it's present, you have a circulation of different strains, as you mentioned, the variants and exactly. this kind of situation.
Exactly. This is a new perception that we need to reevaluate to change our mindset about the control of IBDV in Europe.
And one of the perceptions connected to that as well is, I think it's not just in Europe, but I would like to listen from you about Europe, is that this absence of challenge are not creating any kind of damage on the performance, are not causing loss on the flocks. But we have, in the same time, we have several publications talking about subclinical disease. What's your perception regarding that? Is it true for Europe as well to have a kind of subclinical that's not so easy to detect in the field, but it's impacting the performs not as a huge mortality, but in a different aspects?
I've been a field veterinarian, as I said before, more than 20 years. And I could say, I don't know if I'm lucky enough, but definitely I've seen mortality because of a very virulent IBDV 20 years ago in Greece. And I can assure everybody that it's something that nobody would like to see. And we were talking about 20, 30, and 40% mortality in just 17 days. And of course, all the results that are following the a clinical case like this. Of course, since that time, there has been new vaccines, new vaccination strategies in the field. And probably this helped a lot to change the picture of IBDV in the field. But definitely, as I said, reassortant and variant strains are here. Definitely, we found them, they are building up their pressure in the field, and this is something that we cannot ignore. Definitely, the picture is not the same. We have subclinical forms of IBDV, which are correlated with mainly with body weight and poor performances. We are under investigation to see and how we can correlate exactly this performance data that we have from many, many farms around Europe, together with the existence of reassortant or variant strains. So we are in a process now to see exactly what the correlation between these two elements are. Definitely, it's not the same picture. We don't see high mortality. We don't see, it can be also unnoticed. And we have cases that we found reassortant, we found variants, but when we discuss with the farmers and the customers, they say, but we don't see anything. And of course, this is something that we need to dip more into the data and to exactly correlate the performance of these flocks together with the existence of reassortant. And I'm sure that the results will be completely different.
Looking for the control of the disease. One of the first steps that we already approached, part of that one of the important aspects is to understand the dynamic of the disease, how it changes, how the challenge can be modified along the time. How can we monitor nowadays disease in a low pressure situation?
It's really a really nice question. IBDV is a really important disease. It cannot be excluded from the monitoring purposes in its farm. We definitely need to have a very well-structured monitor program in order to see what's going on or if the IBDV strains are building up their pressure or not. So definitely regular PCR results, regardless of the vaccination program, of course, and plus serology can lead us to fulfill this purpose and to understand exactly what's going on in the field or if the things about IBDV are changing. It's a disease that can be definitely included in a monitoring program, and it's something that the vets should be aware of. It. It's not that it's a subclinical case or it's a subclinical form of the disease, and it doesn't cause any problems. We need to monitor, we need to follow, and in order to be very, very alert about it and how to tackle it.
And do you recommend to go deeper as well on the performance, not just mortality, but in different aspects of the performance?
I definitely propose something like that, because we don't see, as I said, mortality or of course we can see poor performance, we can see secondary infections sometimes, but I think the performance and the alterations in the performance indexes can lead us or can correlate this data with the existence of the disease.
According to your experience, can you share with us a case that the disease was well controlled, that we can say yes, but more disease under control?
There are a lot of cases, but I can say cases like the vets who are believed that they the disease was under control, and the performance indexes, as I said before, proved exactly the opposite. So we found the existence, we found reassortant strains, and the data in the slaughterhouses were not the one that they expected when they were compared, of course, with the rest of the very controlled, very nicely controlled IBDV flocks. There are cases around Europe, of course, in its country. And this is something that we need to keep in mind, that control of the disease is really important in order to have a really nice results in it. Of course, I was in a country, I don't want to mention the country or the company, but definitely it was a case that the vaccination program was in drinking water. We ran this monitoring program and the disease awareness plan. We found reassortant strains in the flock. And of course, when we compared the data, it was exactly the one that I mentioned before, with poor performance and lower body weight, etc., etc. When they changed the vaccination program to using an immunocomplex vaccine like Transmune, then the picture changed immediately after the first event cycle. And of course, now we are already in the third cycle, and all the data and all the sums that we are taking are positive to the vaccine strain, to Transmune strain, to Wonderful 2512, and the performance has been improved a lot.
Really, always nice to listen some good examples and good experience changing the situation and controlling the disease. Before we close, I would like to listen a little bit more personal opinion from you. If you need to advise, or if you want to advise the vets in the field, what should be your advice to them when the topic is control bull motor disease?
I think it's a summary of all of the things that I said before. First, we need to keep in mind that Gaborone disease is here. It's here in Europe, in all the countries. We found it. We know that exists. We know that it depends on the country. It's the level of the prevalence of the disease is different, but it can be very, very high. The second thing is that we need to keep in mind that monitoring of the disease should be constant. It shouldn't be any time that we would like to have monitoring and let's put also IBDV in the list of monitoring diseases, etc. It should be monitored every time. They need to build their own baselines in order to know what to expect with their vaccination program, regardless of the vaccination program. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do, they need to know what to expect. And according to this baseline that they need, of course, to monitor constantly the flocks for IBDV, then, of course, they need to take measures and monitor even deeply, including, of course, PCR, plus the serology. And according to the results, of course, they need to take actions. And the actions, of course, they need to use a suitable, a good a very effective vaccination program. And this is something that we know from the results, like a vaccination program in the hatchery using Transmune is the best, because definitely we know the difference between the technologies of the vaccination programs. We know that Transmune blocks the booster, so doesn't allow any wild strains to enter the flock. And of course, it helps using multiple times the vaccination program. You can displace all kind of very virulent strains from the field.
I would like, Kostas, to thank you for your contribution with the Tanin of the experts, sharing all your experience and your knowledge with us. And you, keep with us, keep safe. See you in the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. And don't forget to follow us so you can listen to our next episode.